James, I grew up with the philosophy, thanks to my parents, that we all have challenges. They just come in different forms. Some challenges you can see and some you can't. The reason that was a very powerful and profound message to me is it didn't allow me to feel sorry for myself. My experience wasn't different than somebody else's experience because we're all going to encounter adversity.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
It's that time again. Welcome to the Professor of Perseverance podcast. I'm the Professor of Perseverance, Dr. James Perdue. Thank you again for coming in. And if you need something to get you fired up, to get you going, get you inspired, get you motivated, this is the place to be, where we interview people who have taken adversity, challenges, difficulties, kicked it in its butt, and has moved on throughout life, and helpfully provide an example for you to follow so you can do better, do something in this world. So you can be up as high as possible for you. Today, our guest here, being in Sports Illustrated, and they recognize this guy as one of the most accomplished, physically challenged athlete in history. He is in the International Tennis Hall of Fame. He is a Hall of Fame speaker. So today, let's go and get him on here. Just don't hold back anymore. Today's speaker, today's guest, I guess, the speaker as well, is Roger Crawford. Roger, thank you for coming on here.
How are you? Nice to see you today. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. We're blessed and everything, and glad that you're here. Man, you got a story here to tell and to help out the next person that's looking for some help, and we appreciate you coming on to share your journey and your story.
Well, thank you, James. Well, listen, I'm inspired by your story as well, and I love the tagline, Professor of Perseverance. I think that's a very powerful statement. I like that, and I'm thrilled to be with you today.
Thank you. A good friend of mine, John Bentley, he may pop in on us today. John Bentley, one day we was at a NSA Tennessee, and all of a sudden he says, "You're the Professor of Perseverance." I said, "What?"
I love that.
And so that's how that came across. So thank you, John Bentley. Appreciate the tag and the branding. Roger, if you can take a few minutes and go ahead and share your story with us, we'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, you know, James, as you mentioned about adversity, I was born with a physical challenge. It affects all four of my limbs from the elbows down and from the knees down. So I have two fingers on my left hand and one finger on my right hand. My left leg was amputated below the knee when I was 5 years old. So today I wear an artificial leg or prosthesis. James, I grew up with the philosophy, thanks to my parents, that we all have challenges. They just come in different forms. Some challenges you can see and some you can't. The reason that was a very powerful and profound message to me is it didn't allow me to feel sorry for myself. My experience wasn't different than somebody else's experience because we're all going to encounter adversity. And so it was important growing up that I did not look at myself as unable. I just found ways to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. Of course, it was a little bit different because of my hands or my legs. But isn't that true for all of us, right? We all have our own path.
And again, like you said, we can accomplish similar or same things, but we may have to do a different route.
Wouldn't you agree, James, that what holds people back most often are self-imposed limitations, self-imposed handicaps? You know, my life really changed for me when I was 19 years of age and I met someone who had hands similar to mine. Prior to that, I hadn't encountered another person that had a similar type of physical challenge like mine. We sat down and we began to talk. And James, it was clear from the onset of our conversation that he was bitter, angry, and he blamed all of his disappointments and his failures and his setbacks on his hands. You know what? Think about this for a moment. If he was given normal hands, but he still had the same mindset, his life wouldn't be any different. The results would have been the same. That's why when I'm speaking to groups, I share with them what I think is the greatest resource that we have, and that's ability to choose our mindset, our attitude, which is the window through which we see our life experience. I wasn't able to choose my hands or my legs. James, you weren't able to choose your injury. But you can choose your outlook. You can choose your response. And I know a lot of people say that, but it's such an important principle of life that we're ultimately responsible for how we respond.
Isn't it Zig Ziglar that said, not that being positive is the cure all, and I paraphrase, the cure all for everything, or it's going to get you, you know, the best results of everything, but it gets you where you can handle whatever situation is better than someone that's negative.
Right. The great Zig Ziglar, had the pleasure of speaking with him many times. And I remember I was in my 30s and I got to introduce him at a meeting as one of the highlights of my career. He had a tremendous influence on me as I was a young speaker, and he's passed on, but he continues to have a positive impact in my life.
Now, let's go back. Two things to ask about is born with a birth defect. What do they call that?
The medical term for it is ectrodactyly, which basically means that when I was being formed from the elbows down and from the knees down, there were some anomalies there. But I have children, and they have not, they don't have it. And I have grandchildren. And so who knows? But I don't really look at it as a disadvantage. This has not been something that I look back at my life and think, gosh, I wish I could change it. Now, that being said, James, I think you and I'd agree with this, that if I was beginning my life, I wouldn't choose to have hands and legs like mine.
That's
you
right.
Would choose to have your neck broken, right?
Right?
But there's a lot of things in life that happen that we can't choose or control.
And you had mentioned earlier, and I agree with you 100%, about the mindset that, you know, even though you have the perfect body and everything, but if you got that negative mindset, you might as well be born disabled and whatnot.
Right. I think it's a lot more disabling than having hands or legs like mine, because we very rarely, if ever, perform better than we believe we can. If we believe that something is impossible, or if we believe we're, quote, handicapped, we're going to work as hard as we can to prove ourselves right. In the same respect, if you believe that something's possible, something's attainable, again, you're going to work hard to prove yourself right. Better that we choose to think, better results we're going to get. Now, that being said, I love what Zig Ziglar's quote that you paraphrased. I mean, attitude doesn't make up for a lack of motivation or commitment or discipline. But what it does do, it allows us to identify opportunity before it becomes obvious. You see, like during COVID-19, it's been a tough time. You know, as a speaker, the last live audience that I've had was in March. It's been challenging. But there's also been many opportunities. I've learned how to do Zoom presentations. I've learned how to communicate virtually. So there's opportunities out there. The COVID coronavirus is called novel coronavirus because it's new and different. The challenges aren't new and change is not new.
That's right. Here, we've got my man Sam O'Coon. And my man Sam O'Coon, this is a guy here, coached me back when I played baseball when I was in Babe Ruth, 13 to 15. Thanks,
wow.
Sam, for coming in. The old saying that the mind is a powerful thing and terrible thing to waste. And again, we talked about why earlier about your good buddy, Kaplan Plum, that he says, you know, adversity is a terrible thing to waste. There's plenty of opportunities out there. Again, if you realize and search for it, and you mentioned, this is what I want to go back earlier. We set self limitations on ourselves,
right,
more than the world or a person saying negative things. We get in and block things. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not power enough. My fingers don't work. Oh, poor, pitiful me. you know. I agree with you that we impose more limitations than the outside does against us.
Well, and for the people listening and watching, one thing that I would share as encouragement is make sure that you're not underestimating yourself and overestimating your obstacles. We typically are much stronger and much more resilient than we give ourselves credit for. I thought it was interesting what Captain Plum said about never wasting adversity. You know, I was a tennis player and I spent many years coaching tennis. I still actually do some coaching online with people. And something I would say to my players is when they would experience a loss, I would say to them, okay, from that loss, what we have to extract from it is the lesson. What can we learn from it? Let's not let that experience of losing go to waste, to paraphrase Captain Plum. You know, you could take some positives out of it. What am I going to do differently? How could I have prepared more effectively? All of those are important lessons. And so instead of looking at it as a loss, we can look at it as something positive.
A learning tool. Failure is a learning tool. It gives you a different way to respond to what needs to be done to get better, or whatever it's in sports or in life, to get better. Also, it gives you that advantage of knowing what you're trying to achieve is really important enough that I want to do it. It gives
you
if it's still important to me, now let's find a way to get around what's giving me an obstacle. Let's find a way to get around it and then go for it. Or again, it may be a different route you take or whatnot. Failure is a great learning tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you look at anybody who has achieved a certain level of success, one common denominator you will find is failure. It's part of it.
Oh, yes. Yes. I used to, when I was a teacher, and it'd get closer to Christmas time, and I would tell the students, I hope you get almost everything you asked for. I said, I don't want you to get everything. I said, because if you get everything all the time, all the time, all the time, then you expect everything to be given to you all the time, all the time. And so a little life lesson, I said, I hope you get your biggest ticket item that you want, but I hope you don't get everything that you want, just so you can face, you know, a little adversity to work towards later on.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Now, you're talking about your positive mindset. That's what I want to get into here. It would have been easy with mom and dad to put you in a bubble and coddle you. But what they did was the best thing, is let you try to grow as normal as possible. Your positive mindset set from that, from mom and dad. And then I also want to talk about also is your support system.
Right. So there's no question that I think my parents set the foundation of that. My dad used to say this when I was growing up. You say, you don't live in Pity City. And his point was, if you want to increase results, decrease excuses. And that was a very, very important message to me, for me. I think the other thing, James, that helped me understand how powerful our mindset is, was being an athlete. Because I really saw how that was so tied to our performance. And so I learned at a young age that having that winning mindset was so, so important. And, you know, some elements of a winning mindset are, you know, number one, control the controllable. If there's something you can't control and you can't influence, you got to let it go. You can't give a lot of time and energy to that. Number two, winning mindset is accentuate your strengths, manage your weaknesses. Number three, it's look at change, not as something wrong, but as something new. Those are just a few elements of a winning mindset that I think that all of us, right, we can incorporate that into our life and into our thinking. And it's amazing how that's going to impact our results. It doesn't change circumstances, though. Sometimes people will, maybe I'll receive a note and someone will say, you know, I've tried being very positive and this didn't change in my life. And my response to it is, well, you know, that aspect of your life may not change, I mean, my hands and legs are not going to change. Your circumstances, likely, James, are not going to be different or change. But we can change how we respond, and we can change how we look at it, which then can provide opportunities.
Go back to a friend of mine, when you said Pity City, your dad said, she said her dad used to say, it's okay to visit Pityville, but it's unacceptable to move in.
I like
so
it.
So I think there's time that we have to go back and not, you know, we feel sorry, we get disappointed, we get mad, whatnot. I think it's good for us to go back sometimes and then blow off steam, set in Pityville for a minute or two, but then, like her dad said, don't move in, and then let's get up and go. Because when we revert back, then we have the opportunity to see how far we have come.
Absolutely.
From where people didn't expect us to be. And so when we jump back a little bit into there, yeah, we see how amazed we are. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but and if you have, you can elaborate here, that there's been people come up to me and they would go, I couldn't do what you're doing. You know, they were saying, I couldn't do it. Like one time I was going to class at college and it was raining. So here I am getting out of my car, taking my wheelchair, putting it together in the rain. Not one person, I saw him at the window looking at me, not one come out to hold an umbrella or anything. And then putting it together, then having to push to get in. And then I get inside and one guy says, I couldn't do what you're doing. There's no way. And I said, well, one, you don't know because you're not in this situation. You
right.
know, I agree with you. We're stronger than we think we are. And when you're in a certain situation, predicament, you'll find out how strong you really are.
That's right.
And so then I told the guy, I said, you know, you got two options in life. I could lay in bed, be fed like a vegetable, watered like a plant, and watch TV of whoever's flipping the channels because I couldn't do it. Or I could do the best that I can and make life the best that I can and go from there. So,
right.
Have you ever had anybody, you know, somewhat come up to you that they just don't think they could have done what you're doing?
Oh, sure. Sure. I think one of the most interesting things, James, that I've had over the years as a speaker is I've had a number of people come up to me and say, you know, when you said this, and they'll share a quote, that's something that I'll never forget and was really powerful. And I'll think, I don't think I said that. And I'll go back, I'll look at the video or listen to the tape, and sure enough, I didn't say it. But here's what's interesting. What I say is not nearly as important as what a person hears. So I may say something, and they will then take it in, and they will reframe it and make it useful for them in their own life. So I find that humbling as a speaker. But also it's enlightening because that's what you really want is to positively impact people, to have them leave and have a fresh perspective on what's possible in their life, what they can attain. I mean, that's why I do what I do. That's why I, you know, I coach a number of people every week. That's why, you know, for over 33 years, I've been, you know, fairly busy as a speaker. And I love doing it. It is a great joy and a blessing, the greatest of which is that you feel like you make a little bit of a difference. And it doesn't mean that people have to remember your name or remember their story, but they got to remember what they heard.
They'll repurpose that in their own mindset.
Exactly.
And then come and formulate what they think you're talking about.
Right.
Now, a few minutes ago, you gave your at least three winning attitudes and mindset. And one of them was something, what was it, whatever you're not good at, get better at it or something like that,
right.
Wasn't it?
And So the principle is that it's so easy for us to focus on what we don't have, what we're not good at, or our weakness. So the example I would use in my life is when you have three fingers, wanting to be a great piano player is probably not a good use of energy. So my point is for people that we all have unique strengths. We all have a unique skill set. When you combine that with mindset, all these possibilities open up. Because here would be an example, James, out of your life, is somebody could look at you and say, wow, here's the things that he can't do. But they're neglecting what you can do, what you can accomplish, what you have accomplished. Oftentimes we get so caught into or so caught up with our weaknesses. You know, whenever I'm talking to somebody who has a physical challenge, and if during our conversation it starts to become very evident that their whole life is about focusing on that weakness, then I try to help them change their perspective a bit. Look, you know, do I have limitations? Sure. Who doesn't? We all do. I mean, when I started speaking, James, I said to myself, I want to develop my communication skills to the level that even if I didn't have a story, I could still be a speaker. Here's why that was important for me. That is what I looked at in my life as a strength. I wanted to make it the best possible I could. I wanted to take it to hopefully an exceptional, extraordinary level. It's very difficult to take your weakness and make it extraordinary, but we can take our giftedness and we can make it extraordinary.
Yes, and it goes back to W. Mitchell. He says, you know, when he had his injury, there was two major injuries and his obstacles, and he came out and said, I used to be able to do 10,000 things. Now I can only do 9,000. Like you said, too many people focus on what they've lost and weakness, what they can't do. And he said, so I don't focus on 1,000 I can't do. I focus on the 9,000 I can do. And so that goes to what you're talking about. And also, when you're talking about whatever your weakness is, try to get good at them or whatnot. When I was coaching, that was one of the things I would tell the kids. Not all of us are the greatest shooter, but we can all do something that can help this team. And I said, whatever you think you're poor at, work hard to be good at it. If you're poor, work hard to be good at it. If you're already good at it, then let's work hard to be great or better at it. Right. If you're already good, exactly. Let's work hard to be better. So that's what you're talking about, the weaknesses. Let's try to strengthen our weaknesses, but also let's insinuate what our strengths already are and get exactly. better at them as well.
Right. And don't be defined by weaknesses. Be defined by strengths.
This is awesome, boy. This is why I do this podcast, is I get to meet great people that's already been through something and they have great advice, great stories to help out other people. And I said, if nothing else, if no one else is listening, except my man Sam today over here, my Babe Ruth coach, that at least I'm getting fired up from this, just from meeting and getting this information. So I appreciate this. All right, Roger, tell us a funny story of what one of your tennis players playing, but not players, but you playing a match. Someone overlooking you because of your disability and then they're dancing around or something. I mean, there's got to be something funny. Yeah, there's got to be something out there that's got to be funny out there.
Well, you know, I say in my speech, I say, you know, I played a gentleman one time, and throughout the entire match, he didn't realize that I wore long warm-up pants. He didn't realize until the match was over that I had an artificial leg. And I say, you know, he took the loss a lot harder then. Because, James, here's the thing. When I was playing tennis, in a lot of ways, my physical challenge was an advantage because nobody wanted to lose to me. And what I learned, James, was hit the ball over the net one more time than the other person, you win the point. You know, I had the opportunity of hitting a few tennis balls with Serena Williams.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you, that taught me that a positive attitude doesn't work every time, my friend.
Yes, yes.
But – you know, so many funny stories. I mean, humor is such a big part of what I do on the stage. I think humor is such a great form of communication because it breaks down barriers and it allows people to open their hearts and minds. So I think humor is so, so important. And laughter, I think, is one of life's greatest gifts.
I agree with you because with me, some people, they're afraid to say something to you because they're afraid they're going to offend you with your disability. And then when they realize that you're just like everybody else, you laugh. You know, if I goof up my wheelchair, I'm going to laugh and say, all right, let's move on this time. When they realize you're comfortable within yourself, then they become better comfortable with you as well. But that goes back to they just don't understand some things and they're just afraid they're going to hurt you. With a comment.
So I absolutely agree with that, James. And for me, it's a little bit different because somebody sees you in a wheelchair, they have a pretty good idea of what someone in a wheelchair, what they can do, what they can't do. They're a little bit more familiar with it. When you have hands and legs like mine, people are not as familiar. So there'll be people that'll stare. And here's how I have decided to look at it. When people stare, I interpret it as they are curious. It's not rejection and it's not negative. They're curious. I have to tell you, my friend, that was a huge mindset shift for me. So I wasn't offended. I didn't feel like it was negative. Every single time that somebody stares at me, that's something that I think about. That's my mindset. They're just curious. That's fine. Rejection, or they're looking at me as less than, doesn't cross my mind.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there was times early when I got injured, and then people would stare and look at me, and I took it the wrong way.
Right.
And right. Someone did an article with me one time, and I even come back and said, I had to finally just say, to the hell what people think, but that wasn't them. That was me.
Right.
Looking at everything the wrong way. Like I said, they were just curious. These are people that knew me when I was walking. And here they are looking and knowing I'm not that athlete I used to be. I'm right. in this wheelchair. I needed some more help back then. And I took it the wrong way. So it made me more disabled than I should have been at that time.
That's right.
But I outgrew it. I'm glad I outgrew that.
That's great.
Roger, I appreciate you coming on here. I mean, you gave us tons of information and help. Go ahead and tell how someone can get a hold of you if they want you to come speak.
Right. They can go to my website, which is rogercrawford.com, R-O-G-E-R, Crawford.com. And they can contact me through my website. But James, I appreciate you having me, and I'm really inspired by your story. And I really appreciate being part of your podcast today.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you kindly recognizing me here. So, this is all about, again, us trying to help someone else in the future. And we don't know what this podcast will be in 100 years from now, but hopefully hopefully somebody will find it, because they say once it's on the web, it's there forever. So hopefully somebody will find it and get some good use. And someone else, if you come in on the replay, if you need some inspiration, if you need some motivation to fire it up here, be sure to listen to the whole thing. Be sure to share this with someone that you think that needs some help. Again, they don't have to be disabled, just they're struggling. And some information here might be able to help them as well. Thank you for everybody for coming in. If I can do anything to help you, go to my website, professorofperseverance.com, and get a hold of me. Go in there and tag whatnot and go from there. So everybody else, thank you for coming in. Sam, man, thank you for coming in, buddy. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.